Thanks, you guys.
Good morning. How are you today? Blessed, good. Anybody ornery today? We'll get that out of you. Can't be ornery in the house of the Lord. He won't tolerate that. The world's ornery. The world's full of hatred. Turn with me this morning to John chapter 15. We're talking about being hated by the world. You know, I'd just soon not preach this message today, honestly. But Jesus spoke it, so I don't get a choice, because it's in the Word of God. And it's not a message we really want to hear very much about. We probably won't even like some of it. It may be a little close to our hearts for some of us. I don't know. Because we all have different views of the world in which we live in and how we interact with it and how the world interacts with us. But before we get into that, I want to call your attention to a couple of important announcements in the bulletin. Tuesday night, June 15, at 7 o'clock, Tuesday, June 15th at 7 o'clock at Bob and Becky Burr's home, we're going to be kicking off about a four-week Bible study on prayer. You're all invited to come to it. And it's a very, very important Bible study. It might be the most important Bible study you ever attend in your life. Because I'll tell you what, if we learn how to pray, we've learned how to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, what John chapter 15 is all about. And it's important that we learn what prayer is about, and not only learn it, but then put it into practice as well. Tuesday night, June 15th at 7 p.m. It's going to be taught by a man named Melchor, who's a Mexican, and a good brother in the Lord. I've come to love him dearly. And it'll be translated for us because he only knows Espanol. And Lord willing, Jenny Navarro will be there with us translating for us during that four-week time. And we're looking forward to that. I hope you'll come. I really do. Hunker down. Put it on your schedule. Get everything out of the way. Starting June 15th on Tuesday nights for 4 weeks at 7 o'clock at the Burr home. Then the other announcement is on June 17th, which is Thursday night, is movie night here at the church. And we're going to be, it's an open movie to the public, and we're going to be showing the movie called Facing the Giants. It's done by the same organization that put out the Fireproof movie that we watched this past winter. And we want to invite you to that Thursday, June 17th at 6:30. Here at the church, and it's a prime opportunity for you to bring your friends and your neighbors with you, and even those you don't know. Invite some people from the restaurant you go out to eat at. Invite the clerks and the waitresses to come, and waiters, and to come and be a part of that. Thursday night, June 17th, 6:30 p.m. here as part of our outreach, Touch San Carlos, to the community, our vision. Here at the church. Hope you'll come. Let's take our Bibles. John chapter 15, verse 18. If you have any subtitle headings in your Bible, mine says the hatred of the world. Verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all of these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. That would be God, of course. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, They would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But that word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. May God bless the reading of his word. The message this morning is entitled, Hated by the World. And it deals with the antagonism of the world, both towards Jesus Christ and towards his disciples. And I hope you are one of those disciples of his. It's really, really important, I think, that when we study Scripture, that we try and get the big, big picture from the Scriptures. And from John chapter 13 all the way through chapter 17, a lot of that we have not looked at or read, Jesus is having his final discussion with the 11 disciples, and this is the night before he's about to be crucified and die. And all of these events from chapter 13 to chapter 17 take place, are spoken by Jesus on that very night, which we know as the Passover meal, the Last Supper. And he knows something about these disciples. He knows that they're full of sorrow. He knows that they are upset, that their future through human eyes looks rather bleak because he's about to leave them, and he's been very explicit in telling them that. And they're probably terrified inside. I think it's important we try and capture what the heart of the feelings of the disciples were on that particular night as he's having this discussion with them. So Jesus has spent most of this time comforting them, encouraging them, and along the way, he's given them some very, very fantastic promises. He's told them that they would experience his very own peace inside that he would give to them. He told them that they would abide in him and they would closely have a close, close relationship with him and he with them. There would be a close, close connection, and that his life would flow through them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only would that life flow through them, but they would bear fruit, much fruit, even more fruit, he tells them. They would have an imminent life communion with him that's ongoing until the day they see him again when he comes in the second coming. He would always be with them. Do you know that? That Jesus is always, always, always with you. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You may be in the darkest pit you've ever been in your life right now. Friend, you're not in that alone. Jesus is with you. And he's got the victory for you if you'll reach out and take hold of him. Remember, abide in me and I will abide in you and you will bear much fruit. But without me, you can't do anything. Listen, without Jesus, without abiding in Jesus, you're going to forever stay in your pit. Get out of the pit by taking a hold of Jesus Christ. Remember the terminology of what abiding means. It means to get as close as you possibly can to him and stay there. Just stay there. Don't let the circumstances of this world chew you up and spit you out. Now, as we've looked at this the last couple of weeks, Jesus said, you'll be my friends for all time. You'll be loved by me. You'll be loving me and you'll be loving each other. And now so that there would be a balanced view of this in the world that they're going to be sent into, he speaks to the disciples to present to them in these verses that we've just read today the extreme opposite of what he's been telling them. He tells them that even though they have all these promises, even though they have all these blessings that are being given to them, all of the Holy Spirit filling them and all the spiritual gifts and abilities that have been endowed upon them, they're going to find themselves in a very, very hostile world in which they're going to be operating in from this point on. A world that will be rebellious, a world that will hate Jesus Christ. It'll be a world that will hate them as the disciples of Christ with the same exact venom that it hated Jesus. This world will seek to kill them in the same way and with the same kind of vengeance that they sought to kill Jesus Christ. We know from history at least 10 of these disciples, if not 11 of the 12, were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus wants these disciples to think rightly about what's ahead of them. He doesn't want them thinking that they're going to have a bed of roses and life is going to be all peachy, when in fact they're going to march into hostility, and they're going to march into hatred, and they're going to march into persecution. They're going to even march into their own death. And he wants them to know that. And that's what this text presents this morning from verses 18 to 25. The hostility of the world against the people of Jesus Christ. I want you to keep in mind something. We're going to be in this text probably for another 3 weeks, in this very text right here. But I want you to keep something in mind all the way through this. I want you to keep in mind that the hostility from the world is the cost of discipleship. Any hostility that you and I face in this world because of our testimony of Jesus Christ living in us, the hope of glory, is the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's the real cost of being a witness, and it's a cheap, cheap price to pay compared to the blessings which are eternal and richly given in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had given these disciples all their assurances of how deeply he loved them. Now, in the midst of his love, he's going to show them that the world is going to hate them even though he loves them. Look at verse 17 with me for a moment. Jesus makes the transition from what he's been telling them thus far in chapter 15. And he uses verse 17 as the transition, I believe. He says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." These things I command you so that you will love one another. He's saying, guys, keep on loving each other. Guys, be devoted to each other. Guys, why? Because the world's going to hate you with a passion when you get out there and start witnessing about me. You're going to desperately need that love in the midst of a hostile, rebellious, Christ-killing world. So he says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." And now, beginning in verse 18, where we started reading this morning, we find Jesus' statements warning them about the world's hate. But they're also a motivation, I believe, for the disciples to each love one another. Look at verse 18. "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." Listen, the world does not accept us. If you're a true disciple who's abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world does not accept us. If we're true disciples, we cross the grain of everything the world stands for. And the only thing we believers have to stand on is the love of Jesus Christ for us and the love that we have for each other in the body of Jesus Christ, the church. I had the most amazing conversation a week ago downtown San Carlos with someone who just said, well, someone who had just been given a Bible from this church. And he was reading it emphatically, and he said, "I love God, I love God." He's telling me all this stuff. "God's so important to me, but I don't have any time for the church," he said. I thought about him this week as I was doing this message. You see, if we, the only two things that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ is the love of Christ that will sustain us, because we cross the grain of the world. We're against the world. The world's against us. We're not in sync with the world. And the other thing we have is the love for each other, the love and support, encouragement of one another. You see, they all suffered hatred of the world. And Jesus says to them, love each other, because the world is not going to love you. And no one can exist, listen, no one can exist without love as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Mark chapter 13, verse 9, I put it up here for you. Jesus said this about this thing. He said, but be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say. But say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Satan will lead a total, all-out, hostile war against the disciples of Jesus Christ. And it will be carried out how? Through the systems of the world. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. Persecution always comes to the person who puts Jesus Christ first in their life. And you might ask, as I did this week as I was thinking about this, why? Why will the persecution come to faithful disciples? Well, persecution will come to faithful disciples because we are not of the world and we do not fit the world's systems. We are not of this world and we do not fit the world's systems. Look again with me at verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. You see, Jesus anticipates that when the disciples move out into the world, they're going to automatically get some hatred from the world. The world's not going to like them. He says to them, don't worry about that. If they hated me, they're going to hate you as well. Just remember me, and if you're going to stand for me, you're going to get the same thing. Here's the reason they're going to hate you, and he explains that in verse 19. Look at it with me. Verse 19, why are they going to be hated? He says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. There's the reason he gives that the world's going to hate the believer. It's because we are not of this world. We are different. And I think it's important here to define the term world here because John uses that term world over and over and over again. It refers to the word is cosmos in the Greek, but it has many, many meanings in the Greek language. But here in John, the world, the term for world is the expression of depravity. The world is the evil system authored by Satan and acted out by humanity. The world is the depraved situation, a society of wickedness that has set itself up against Jesus Christ. And the only one who really loves Christ and declares allegiance to him is hated by the world system. Everything that is godly and Christ-like, the world declares war on. Do you agree with that? Jesus even told his own earthly brothers, and I emphasize earthly brothers, those other brothers born to Mary and Joseph. In John chapter 7, Jesus speaking to his earthly brothers, he said this, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. He said to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 32, you are from below, he's speaking to the Jews, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Isn't it interesting there in John 8:32 that Jesus establishes a position, a below and above position when he's talking there. He compares the fact that someone from this world who doesn't love God and Jesus Christ is from below, from beneath. And the person who loves Christ is from above. In other words, the world system is what? It's right out of the pit. And the people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are part of an anti-God, anti-Christ, satanic system of evil which operates totally against God. The whole system, the Bible tells us, is ruled by Satan, the god of this world. John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." He's talking about Satan there, this ruler, the god of this world. And we know that Satan is the prince. He's often talked about as the prince of this world in Scripture. He's a blinder. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He runs and orchestrates an evil system that fights against God and fights against Jesus Christ. So it's natural, it's just natural that he drives a system, the world system, that moves in the same direction that he moves, because he's anti-God, he's anti-Christ, and he's trying to move the world away from God. I want you to think about this for a moment. Many Christians are lulled into believing that the world is really very tolerant of God and very tolerant of Jesus Christ, when in fact neither are really tolerated in the world. You see, we are not of this world. Jesus is saying that. And we stand apart from this world. We're set apart. We're righteous. We're holy. We're made sanctified by the Holy Spirit's presence in our life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we cannot belong to a system of the world that's evil, and the world hates us because of that. Satan, the god of this world, is directing the world in attacking those things that are of God and of Christ. He's directing that. You're living today. Can't you see this? The things that are happening in this world are becoming more and more intolerant of God and intolerant of the religion of Christianity and the religious symbols of Christianity, like the cross and the Ten Commandments and the Bible. And the world is on a tremendous campaign to root Christianity out forever and ever. They want to snuff it out. Over in chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus knows this. And Jesus is praying here at the end of this discourse. Remember, chapters 13 to 17 are all taking place on this one night at the Last Supper. And he's coming to the end of the discourse, and he's praying for the disciples as he's about to say goodbye to them. And in chapter 17, verse 12, he prays to the Father, and he prays this: "While I was with them," the disciples, "I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, whom we know as Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled." You see, Jesus hangs on to those who are his own. He doesn't let them go. Friend, you may be in the deepest pit, but he's got you, he's got you, he's got you, and he won't let you go. You're in his grip, and he's the all-powerful God who cannot have anything. There's nothing that can release his grip from you. You belong to him. And look at what he prays in verses 14 and 15. As he continues to pray for them, he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." You see, the system hated Jesus Christ so much so that the mounting hate built up to the point where they nailed him to the cross, they spit on him, and they killed him. And why did they hate him? They hated him because he violated their system. And understand this, the system that he violated was a religious system. It was holy versus unholy. It was a holy God versus an unholy religious system. The greatest haters of Christianity have always been false religions, is Islam, for instance, as one of many, called the cults, and all the other kinds of false systems under the guise of godliness, oftentimes. Satan saves his best for false religions, I believe. And it's through false religions that he traps and he captivates people's minds for his purposes and his use. So God, here he is, has called us as a part of the system of the world to come away from the world and to come out of that world. And we're to stand for Jesus Christ in the midst of the evil, evil world. Paul says to the Philippian believers in chapter 2, verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights. Where? In the world. Are you shining for Jesus Christ in the world today? Or are you just kind of moving through the world system and nobody really knows you're any different than they are? Are you just kind of tolerating what's going on in the world without speaking up against it? In 1 John, towards the back of the Bible, chapter 5, verse 19, this same John is who's writing to us in John 15 today. He says, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." You see, John paints this huge contrasting picture for us. It's a contrast that's as far apart as it could possibly be. The world lies in the power of the evil one, and we live in and under the power of Almighty God. See the contrast. There's an absolute antithesis between the believer and the world and its evil system. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, folks just like us, says this, Try and discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And as believers, we have a responsibility and the duty, I believe, to call sin for what it is. We may not be feeling the hatred of the world as believers because we're too tolerant of the sin that's going on around us. And who knows, maybe we're involved in it. We're too easy going. Listen. Hear me. If you hear nothing else this morning, that unbelieving friend of yours, that family member of yours who's caught in the world system, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, listen. Are you just going to sit there and not say anything to them and just let them go to the pit below and lose their soul? Are you not going to say anything about the sin in their life and their need to know that God demonstrated his love towards them while they were yet sinners, that Christ died for them for resurrection glory and eternal hope? Are you not going to say anything to them? Are you just going to tolerate what's going on in their lives and pat them on the back and say, "Well, you're not too bad of a person," and watch them descend to the eternal pit? But listen, if you do say something to them, if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus will give you the words to speak, speak up, be prepared to be hated for it. Be prepared to be rejected for it. But understand that they're not necessarily rejecting you as much as they are rejecting Jesus. And when they're rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting God the Father as well. You cannot love God the Father and not love the Son. And you can't love the Son and not love God the Father. It's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And anyone who tells you, well, I worship God, I just don't buy into Jesus, understand they aren't right. Their theology is wrong. And they're headed for the wrong place. Without Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. It was His shed blood on the cross of Calvary that atones and redeems and forgives and pours out mercy on a sinner like you and I. And when you speak up, you're violating the world's systems and you're going to stand in condemnation of it by the world. And it's natural that the world's going to hate you for it. But are you going to stand there and not say anything? Look at verse 18 and verse 19 with me again in John chapter 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And I'm skipping down here a little bit. In verse 19, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Listen, a friend of Jesus Christ can only be a true friend of Jesus. And it will require of you that you speak the truth in love to that individual who's dying and who is separated from God by the world. But listen, you are not alone when you speak up. He gives the disciples firm assurance as He's sending them out into the world now that He's leaving them. And He says to them in verse 26, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will bear witness about me. You don't know what to say to that friend or that loved one? Just say whatever God puts on you. Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, He will give you the words to speak. I guarantee it. As we come to the communion table this morning, I think this is an awesome moment to bow before the Lord in prayer and examine our lives. Are you really different from the world? Are you a light shining in the darkness? Or have you been playing the game with one foot in the world and one foot trying to have one foot in the kingdom of God? Now might be the time that as we examine our hearts before the Lord, before we partake of the communion elements, that we do it God's way. And we hand Him total control of our lives. And we stop playing games. We stop being lukewarm because Jesus hates lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you are hot or cold, but when you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He wants you hot for Him. He wants you hungering and longing and thirsting after righteousness for His name's sake. He wants you walking in the Spirit, revived, renewed, redeemed, changed on the inside, full of hope, full of faith, full of glory, because He's poured glory all over you through your faith. He wants you, every man, woman, and child sitting in this sanctuary this morning. He wants you. And He came to this world in a human body, in the form of one of us, to demonstrate to us by going to the cross that what He was willing to do to have you, to have all of you. He was willing to pay for you what you cannot pay for yourself, so that you might have a living, alive relationship with the God of heaven and earth, the holy God of the universe, Almighty God, Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I want to encourage you this morning, move towards Him. By faith, move towards Him. Repent, turn, let go of anything that needs to be let go of this morning. And by faith, through the cross of Jesus Christ, come to the kingdom of God out of this world. There's no other way to come to the kingdom except through the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed there for your sin and for mine. He paid for you and for me what we could not pay for ourselves. Father, search our hearts right now and speak to us of these eternal things. God, help us to examine ourselves right now before we partake in communion together. Lord, show us what you want to show us in these moments, right now. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you've done. Thank you for the eternal plan, God, that you had from the beginning of time. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary that has bought us and purchased us and redeemed us. Thank you for the cleansing and the forgiveness of sin that cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. Thank you for the hope and the glory that comes upon us because of the faith that we have in the one who came from above to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who lives in us as believers today, who not only dwells richly in us, but reminds us constantly of who we are in Jesus Christ. Children, heirs, joint heirs of Christ, disciples, loved, so deeply loved by you, Lord. We bless you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll ask the servers to come at this time, please.